taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. You know, I'm sure you're all familiar with the saying, let them eat cake. Although I haven't found any proof, this is normally attributed to Marie Antoinette during the French Revolution. When the people said they had no bread, the queen said, let them eat cake. And it's really come to signify this complete disconnect and disregard that the aristocracy has for everyone else. Now, you may be saying, Paul, we live in America. We don't have an aristocracy. Really? I pose to you an example here. We have our favorite current press secretary, Jen Psaki, and they've been talking about the COVID cases in the White House. Now, the press secretary was asked how many COVID cases were in the vaccinated staff in the White House. Her response was, why do you need that information? Why do you need to have that information? Well, the White House has been telling us all along that if you're vaccinated, you're protected. But that isn't the issue. You see, the White House is owned by the people. It is everyone who works there is a public servant. Now, while I am not interested in violating the privacy of those who work at the White House, the legitimate privacy, I don't want to know who may have gotten sick, but I might be interested in how many of the vaccinated staff have actually gotten sick, have actually tested positive. Is this vaccine actually effective, this experimental use vaccine? But to me, it's the attitude that really caught my attention. That, you know, well, you don't need to know that. You know, that's information that let the aristocracy deal with that. Let us, we know better than everybody else. Now, this comes on the heels of Senator Klobuchar and a bill that she has co-sponsored that basically wants to put the federal government in charge of truth. She co-sponsored a bill that wants to punish social media companies for allowing this, quote, spread of medical misinformation. Again, defined by whom, Ms. Klobuchar? See, even, first of all, at the one hand, it should blow your mind. I mean, this is government takeover of speech. But at the other hand, you should be asking yourself, wait a second, where does anybody in the government claim the authority to abridge the freedom of speech of Americans? If I wish to give out information that Ms. Klobuchar thinks is wrong, that is my right. Ms. Klobuchar, you swore an oath to support the Constitution, which includes the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, but that is exactly what you're trying to do, because in a very aristocratic way, you think you know better than everybody else. Or you simply just don't want to be challenged. In other words, you want to tell the American people to let them eat cake. Or maybe in this case, it might be let them eat their vaccine. Now, Ms. Klobuchar is not alone. The bill was co-sponsored by a Ben Ray Lujan. Not sure which state he represents. But the bill, the legislation, directs the Department of Health and Human Services to create a definition of health misinformation. Oh, so we're going to turn the Department of Health and Human Services into the Department of Speech. The Department of Truth. The Department of Fighting Misinformation. Why isn't everyone else on their feet yelling? screaming about this. This is a violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution. It is a violation of their oath of office. And I would like to know why these two senators are not being publicly chastised and ridiculed for proposing such a blatantly illegal piece of legislation. I want to know why. But you see, I'm not really surprised. See, this is the aristocracy. This is those in Congress who believe they are better than everyone else, that they know more than that we are their servants, not their masters. This is the equivalent of let them eat cake. If we don't like what they're saying, we will make it illegal. Well, I hate to tell you something, Ms. Klobuchar. Even if you get this passed, and even if it passes the House, and even if it's signed by the president, it's void. It's meaningless. It is such a gross violation of the Constitution. Every American should simply ignore it. Every sheriff should order his or her deputies to ignore it. Every governor should order their members of the executive branch to ignore it. And everyone should be trying to censure anyone hypocritical, vulgar enough to attempt to infringe on the right of the American people to speak freely. This is why we separated from a corrupt government just like the one we have in Washington, D.C. This to me is again, let them eat cake. This is the modern American aristocracy. You know, we say the Constitution says you're not supposed to have titles of nobility. Yet it certainly seems like when someone becomes a senator or a representative, they assume it's a title of nobility, that they can do what they want. They say let them eat cake. I said let them choke on their words. More examples of the aristocracy that we have in Washington, D.C. See, President Biden said during a town hall that that Republicans who claim the Democratic Party is anti-police are lying. Now, Mr. Biden is free to express his opinion on any topic. I don't say he can't. In fact, I want him to continue talking because this is another example of let them eat cake. Anybody with half a brain, anyone with half a brain may not say that the entire Democratic Party is anti-police, but the anti-police movement is certainly coming out of the Democratic Party. You look at the cities that are pushing anti-police legislation or ordinances, the ones that are shutting down their police departments, decreasing their police departments, calling to defund the police, they're all run by Democrats. You look at the politicians that are promoting anti-police policies, it is, everyone I've seen is a Democrat. Now, I don't give the Republicans a pass. They've got enough bad ideas of their own. But it's the aristocracy that says, hey, as he said at one point, I am the Democratic Party, and I say that that's not true. Therefore, you must believe me. Yet that's what he said. Is that really any different than let them eat cake? You see, if your rights are not protected under any political organization, then they become meaningless. And a perfect example came out of the college and university campuses under the Obama administration. See, under the Obama administration, they turned Title IX into a weapon. The authorization to beat up on people who they disagree with. You see, in 2011, the Obama administration issued what was known as the Dear Colleague Letter under Title IX. And in this, federal funding for the school was contingent on the school denying due process to accused students, denying them the right of cross-examination, requiring a preponderance of evidence rather than beyond a reasonable doubt, and defined sexual violence broadly, dealing with rape, sexual assault, sexual battery, even sexual coercion, but put no definitions behind it. Now, this led to literally kangaroo courts. Someone could simply accuse you of sexual coercion to the idea that, you know, hey, you want to go out on a date. Hey, you want to go back to my place. They could accuse you of a crime and have you thrown out of school. You were not allowed to cross-examine your accuser. You're not allowed to confront your accuser. You weren't allowed to cross-examine anyone. You weren't allowed the presumption of innocence until proven guilty. There was no reasonable doubt. These were kangaroo courts. A kangaroo court is basically any proceeding where the outcome's already decided. It's just a formality. Now, when Trump came into office, he put an end to that. Well, guess who's putting it back? That's right. President Biden's talking about putting the exact same process back in place, where if you are a man accusing a woman, you are guilty until proven innocent. You don't have your day in court is compromised. You don't have the right to confront your accuser. You don't have the right to compel witnesses in your favor. You just have to show up, take your licking, and then out you go. This is a violation of your due process rights. And again, what's coming down from this is the federal government extorting schools to do this. But then again, that's what happens when schools become dependent on the bribes from the federal government. Do you see why I warn you about taking federal money? It always comes with strings. And those strings always change based on, well, who's pulling them. But this is the arrogance, this is the aristocracy of a government that says, we know better than the Constitution, we know better than everybody else, we will simply issue dictates and you will comply or we will punish you. And since the American people are basically bought and paid for by their own money, it's really not that hard. See, that's when they say, when justice is no longer blind, there is no justice. Which brings me to my next little piece of information. According to a report in the Epoch Times, the U.S. Department of Justice has opted against investigating, well, let's say, governors that ordered nursing homes to accept residents who tested positive for COVID-19. Now, there's a couple interesting things to note. Each and every one of these governors, the governor of New York, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and New Jersey, they disregarded orders of different health groups, and they placed COVID-positive patients amongst those with the highest risk of death from the disease. Now we know that that's one of the few really risky groups. But even at the beginning, we knew that those who are old or infirm had the highest risk of death from COVID. And many of these states, including my former home state of New York, the governors ordered those state-funded, state-operated nursing homes to accept Typhoid Marys. And this was brought to the Department of Justice under what's known as the Civil Rights of Institutionalized Persons Act, or CRIPA. I love these names and their acronyms. Oh, my word. And they looked at New York, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. I think New Jersey was dropped in a later act. And they basically said they've declined to investigate. They've to look in deeper. Now, the Civil Rights Institutionalized Persons Act basically allows the Department of Justice to investigate either state or local governments or its employees or agents if they suspect that people in institutions owned or run by those governments have had their rights denied. Now, again, I'm not one to have federal involvement in things. You know me, I would much rather have it dealt with the state level. And I hope that these states do continue to pursue action of what at least maybe manslaughter. However, this Institutionalized Persons Act, I don't have a constitutional problem with because it's enforcing the 14th Amendment, which says, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So since the CRIPA is specifically looking at state institutions that have violated the rights of people in those institutions, I think a federal DOJ should be a last resort. But I don't think it's an unconstitutional resort. And having lived in New York for so long, I'm really not surprised. I would actually be surprised if Governor Cuomo was actually held accountable for his actions. I'm not familiar with the politics in Pennsylvania, Michigan, or New Jersey. But again, I lived in New York most of my life. And let's just say Governor Cuomo has a history of shutting things down when they get a little too close to home. So not really expecting much there. But again, what are we seeing here? We see that if you're attacking certain people, those in the aristocrats get to pick and choose who are going to be charged, who's going to be investigated, who's going to be taken to court. And I don't know about you, but I find it just a little interesting that the four states in question are all Democratic governors who are members of the Democratic Party. Now, I'm not saying this was partisan, but it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, and it's done in your name. See, don't go pointing to the DOJ. The DOJ works for President Biden, who, by the way, also happens to be a Democrat. And the American people hired him. Yes, we did it indirectly, right, because we hired people to vote for us in the states and the state electors. But ultimately, the decision of who would be president eventually came into the laps of the American people, and we chose Biden. I'm sure right now there are people screaming at me going, no, no, it was a fraud, it was a fraud. Well, you see, I've done a little research. And if you take the states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, even Arizona, and you identify that these states have had their presidential electors appointed illegally. In other words, they were not validly appointed. The only answer then would be to remove them from the election, in which case Biden would still have won by one vote. The only way Biden would not have won is if they could have overturned an election in one of those states, probably many of those states, and that just didn't happen. Now, before you go whining and saying, see, it was fraud, every one of those electors, every one of those election officials works eventually for someone who was elected by you. So if your Secretary of State, your governor, your Justice Department was corrupt enough to allow this to happen, you allowed them to hold office. See, I'm picking today on the aristocracy that we have in America, that's developed in America. But ultimately, unlike any other aristocracy in the world, they eventually have to be elected by we the people. So we the people have chosen our own aristocrats to rule over us. And that to me is that's the dirty little secret that nobody wants to admit. That with everything that's going on and all the finger pointing and name calling and blame shifting, ultimately, the American people hired those people to represent them. Hired people, in many cases, who for years, sometimes decades, have acted as aristocrats. And they don't care. They keep hiring them over and over and over again. Like I say, how can you tell when a politician is lying? Generally, their lips are moving. Yet they're the ones we hire over and over and over. What does it say about the American people that we knowingly hire people that we know are lying to us? And the ones that lie the best are the ones we elect the most. Why does Congress have generally a 10 to 15% approval rating, but an 80 to 90% incumbency rate? See, we have an aristocracy because we the people led it. We the people have bowed down to them. We have let them hold office because, well, they need to hold office. It's not simply the individual who's the aristocrat. We've actually turned the parties and the party leadership into our own aristocrats. Vote for, you know, you have to vote Republican. Otherwise, you know, you have to put Mitch McConnell as the majority leader. Otherwise, you get Chuck Schumer. Two aristocrats, two different agendas. Both of them involve ruling you. Now, they disagree about how that should be done, but they both involve ruling you. And I'll show you more of that a little later in this episode. But you see, unlike Europe, we've elected our aristocrats, which means they're our fault. As James Garfield said at our centennial, now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If it be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, because the American people demand such qualities in their national legislature. And what was true 145 years ago about the Congress is just as true about Congress today. The senators that want to control speech were elected by the citizens of their state. The press secretary works for the president that was elected by the people. Yes, problematically, but still elected. That same president who says you're lying if you disagree with him, that he believes he's the Democratic Party, was elected. The very same president that's trying to return kangaroo courts to our colleges and universities was elected. And the very same man oversees the Department of Justice that says we're not going to look into these nursing home issues was elected. We the people ordained and established this Constitution. Yes, we did it through the states, but we ordained and established it. We created the federal government through the states. Therefore, we are responsible for its actions. And until we take responsibility for our actions, our part in all of this, nothing's going to change. John Jay said that every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. By knowing their rights, they'll sooner perceive when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. He's talking about understanding the way the government works and keeping it in its box. It's not simply things like freedom of speech, freedom of press, or to be secure from unreasonable searches and seizures. It's the right to have the states control what we've told them they can control, not have the federal government tell us what it will and won't do. It's the consent of the governed. It's the right to tell government what its boundaries are, not be told by government what our boundaries are. And we have let it slip. We have allowed Congress and the government, the federal government, and many of our state governments to become ignorant, reckless, and corrupt. We have no one to blame but ourselves. But if that's the bad news, the good news is the only people that can really fix it are ourselves. And it starts with you and with me, with all the individuals learning what the boundaries are and how to enforce them. Now, before we head off to break, I want to remind you about HealthyCell.com. You know, vitamins really haven't changed much in almost 100 years. So along comes this company, HealthyCell, and they reinvent the vitamin. They focus it on the cellular needs, the cellular level, to give you the maximum absorption, to feed your bodies, your cells, everything they need. And they make it easy to use and easy to take. HealthyCell has these, whatever, they're travel-ready packs. They're really useful, you know, if you're just taking them by day, or like me, someone who travels. You can pack them away, and instead of dealing with vitamins and water and whatnot, you can simply drink the shot or mix it into a drink. And it really makes a difference. I've been using several of these, and the focus and recall is very helpful. You know, you get to the end of the day, and if you're like me, you know, you've got so many things going on, your mind just gets fuzzy and clouded, and you're trying to get something finished, and it no matter how far you try, it just doesn't seem to be going. So go to HealthyCell.com/outloud. You'll get 20% off your first order. You can try the Focus and Recall. See if it helps you. Don't take the caffeine shots, the energy drinks that are all sugar and caffeine, or the energy shots that are basically the same thing. Try something that gives your body what it needs, not simply a drug boost to get you through the next half hour to an hour. So again, go to healthycell.com/outloud. You'll get 20% off your first order. You can try the Focus Recall or any of their products, and I know you'll find them easy to use and helpful to keep your body functioning.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is the McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for 20% off your first order of any HealthyCell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We are looking at nobility, at aristocracy in America. Now, Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution says that no title of nobility shall be granted by the United States. And then Section 10 says that no state shall grant a title of nobility. Yet it seems to me more and more that those who assume the title of representative, senator, president, or any of the minions around them act more like nobility than they do as servants of the people. They've taken on the position that they get to tell you how to live your life. I'm reminded of the time that Senator Feinstein, I believe it was Feinstein, admonished a general for referring to her as ma'am. See, now, the first thing that came to mind was, does she not realize that military training, in the military, you refer to the person by their title the first time, and after that as either sir or ma'am. So this was not an effort at disrespect as she had acted. But she made the point, she goes, please call me senator. I've worked very hard for that. Well, I'm sorry, but isn't that approaching a title of nobility? A senator, you are a servant, ma'am. A servant of the people, not their master. Now, I don't have a problem with someone being referred to as senator, but I find it very interesting when we see senators, they get very bent out of shape when you don't use their title, when you don't treat them with due respect. I can just imagine, I'd love to see Americans in front of Congress reminding them they are servants of the people, not their master, that they have no power, legal power, to control speech. If I wish to refer to her as ma'am or Sasquatch or whatever, I have that right to, as long as I don't lie about her, as long as I don't defame, libel, or slander her, yeah, I can use whatever title I wish for her. But that kind of is drifting off the point. The idea is now we have a class in America that believe, if not in word, in deed, that they are aristocrats. They are better than everybody else. And right now, chief among the aristocratic class in America is the dread Dr. Fauci. You know, kind of like the dread Pirate Roberts from The Princess Bride. The dread Dr. Fauci said the other day that the CDC is considering recommending masks for vaccinated individuals as a Delta variant continues to surge. See, now, rather than looking at it and saying, you know what? Yes, the Delta variant is growing. It is more contagious, but also less virulent. But yet he believes he has the authority to tell you to recommend that people wear a mask even if they're vaccinated. Now, hey, Mr. Fauci, you can make whatever recommendations you want. They hold absolutely zero weight in my mind, because you have lied to us. You've misrepresented. You're either a fool or a con artist, and I don't listen to either of them. But this idea that there are people today, there are people in governments today, there are citizens today, there are people in America today who will do whatever this man says because he's Dr. Fauci. There are businesses, corporations that will implement standards based on what one man says. I've told this story before. I was at a doctor's office with my wife, and the PA asked us if we'd gotten our COVID vaccines. And when I told her, no, I'm not taking a vaccine, an experimental vaccine for a disease I have a 99.5% of surviving, she goes, really? 99.5? It says, yes, look at the CDC data. Not what the buffoons are saying, not what the directors are saying, not what the bureaucrats, the politicians are saying. Look at the data. Based on my age and my health conditions, I have a 99.5% chance of surviving this disease. She goes, well, the vaccine's been tested. No, it has not. It's been released under an emergency use authorization. Just this past weekend, I had the same discussion with someone in our church. See, they had listened to the bureaucrats who said it was fully tested. The politicians that had lied to them that it was fully tested because they look at them as aristocrats. They know better. I says, no, It's still under an emergency use authorization. It's going to take 2-3 years for them to finish the testing. Even then, they're not going to have long-term testing. But that's what happens when you put, when you elevate bureaucrats into aristocrats. I have a medical professional advising me to take an experimental vaccine without bothering to study the data. Now, if that's coming from a medical professional, what about John Doe, Jane Doe, American? See, we have to stop looking at these people as aristocrats because they're just people. And they are there to serve us, not to rule us. But instead, what happens? We have cities like St. Louis, Missouri, which has joined a list of other cities that are reimposing mask mandates. Why? Well, because you have more cases of the Delta variant of COVID. Now, I look at the number of studies that say masks do not work. Masks do not stop the transmission of viruses. Physically, it is impossible for a mask to filter out of the, for the average mask, the mask you buy at the store or the mask you make at home, it is impossible for it to filter out the virus. Right? Impossible. Look at the states that dropped their mask mandates early. Do they have spikes in COVID? Do they have more COVID cases per capita than the ones that are still reinforcing? No. So there's empirical evidence that masks do not work. There are studies that show the dangers of wear, of prolonged mask uses, especially among children. Yet we have one aristocrat in Washington, or maybe two or three, and suddenly cities, certain cities are falling over themselves to reimpose draconian measures, illegal draconian measures, because some aristocrat told them that it was recommended it to them. Oh, you said it's illegal? Yeah, mask mandates are illegal. Let me tell you the story one more time. Shortly after this nonsense started back in early 2020, I was at an event in a neighboring county that had just instituted a mask mandate. The coordinator came over to my table and said, listen, you know, they just put in a mask mandate. We should be okay. We're on private property, but we don't know what the police are going to do. I said, I don't care. That mask mandate's illegal. When the person looked at me quizzically, I handed her a sheet of paper. I said, listen, they're depriving me of my liberty and control of my body without due process of law. The Fifth Amendment says I cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The 14th Amendment says a state cannot deprive me of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So any law that without finding probable cause that I am a danger that deprives me of my liberty to go about my life without being molested by the government or the property of control of my body is illegal. It is therefore null and void, according to both Alexander Hamilton and the Federalist Papers, number 78, and the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison. Now, this person's response was, if the police show up, we're sending them to your table. It's good. But you see, we've been so ingrained with these are aristocrats. They can order you around. They're your betters. You have to submit. I say no. I say it's about time people in St. Louis and all of these other cities grow up. Stop acting like children, being told to put on your raincoat and your hat and your shoes before you go out and play in the street. You grow up. You make decisions for yourself. Now, if you think a mask is going to save you, wear a mask. I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to wear a mask. I'm saying the government has no authority to force you to wear a mask. And oh, by the way, please, if you tend to go maskless in these states, I have a couple of recommendations for you. Head to the website constitutionstudy.com. That's my website. Search for the Knowing Your Rights placard. Just search for Knowing Your Rights. You'll find there's a couple entries in there. One of them has got this placard. This is what I handed to the person at the event I was at. It shows the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the 14th Amendment. It also shows that it's a federal crime for someone under color of law to deprive you of your rights, of a right protected by the Constitution. So you can show, and you can certainly inform these petty tyrants that they're the ones actually committing the crime, and that you'd be more than happy to contact, after you call your lawyer, to contact the FBI and file a complaint. Will that change their mind? Will that work? I don't know. But if we're going to be free citizens, then we must stand for our rights. We must stop waiting for someone else to protect our rights for us. We must do it for ourselves. And again, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. I'm not saying you can't. But if you're tired of these aristocrats in government telling you how to live your life, then it's about time you stand up for your rights. As Captain John Parker said, stand your ground. Don't let them push you anymore. They are not aristocrats. They're bureaucrats. They are not your masters. They're your subjects. Now, I've already talked a bit about the kangaroo courts coming back to the university. Well, there's another kangaroo committee being formed in Washington. Nancy Pelosi has got a vote, then they're putting together a committee to look at the January 6th Capitol breach. You'd think they flew airplanes into the Capitol the way this is talked about. But what I find interesting, not the least bit surprising, but what I find interesting is Nancy Pelosi has denied certain Republicans the ability to sit on this committee because of their point of view, but is more than happy to invite those of the concurring point of view to be on this committee. See, back on July 21st, Pelosi barred Representatives Jim Banks and Jim Jordan from joining the committee. See, they were appointed by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy in what is supposed to be a bipartisan committee. You have one party dictating who will and will not be allowed to serve. This is sham. This is a sham. This is a kangaroo court. So who does Ms. Pelosi then specifically invite? In other words, she doesn't seat the two representatives chosen by the minority leader. No. She specifically invites Adam Kinzinger. Now, Adam Kinzinger is a Republican, so she can have the sham of being bipartisan. But he's also been a frequent critic of former President Trump. See, anything bipartisan is dangerous. People go, oh, this is great, it's bipartisan. No. When both sides are agreeing on something, they're coming for you and your rights. Grab your wallet, grab your family, grab your gun and defend yourself because they're coming for you. But here we have we're gonna pick somebody that agrees with me. Why? Why did she say that? Oh, well, she says he has military experience. He's gonna bring patriotism to the committee's mission. Really? That's all it takes. You serve in the military and suddenly you are forever labeled a patriot. How about Mr. Banks and Mr. Jordan? Were they not patriotic? Or did they simply disagree with your fiction that January 6th was an attack on our democracy? Ms. Pelosi, may I inform you, we are not a democracy. And may I remind all Americans that this committee is a sham. This is an aristocrat. There's no other way to describe Ms. Pelosi. She's been there so long. She wields so much power. San Francisco just loves having a tyrant in power. And she is using her position as an aristocrat, which the Speaker of the House has become an aristocratic post. She wields power without challenge. And by the way, it's not simply because it's her. That's what the House has turned the speakership role into, basically an aristocratic role. And now she's using it to advance a political agenda and using this feign of, I'll find Republicans that agree with me and we'll just call it bipartisan then. It's a sham. My question is, when are the American people going to recognize this? When are the American people going to realize that those people in Washington are acting more like King George III than they are acting as servants of the people? Now, how many of you remember the reaction when Tucker Carlson suggested that he'd being spied on by his own government? And how many people said, oh, no, you're being ridiculous. No, no, no. Well, here we go. The NSA, after reviewing the matter internally, has admitted that they have unmasked Tucker's identity. They took what was supposed to be hidden. In other words, when they're spying, when they're collecting data on foreigners, the American's name identity is to be masked. They unmasked Mr. Carlson. Why? See, they are only supposed to unmask Americans under extraordinary circumstances. But you see, what we have now is not a government of laws, but of men. So when an aristocrat in Washington says, hey, let's unmask this guy so that we can, what, use it? They do it. Tell me, why did no one at the NSA say, wait a second, didn't you take an oath to support the Constitution that says you cannot be unreasonably searched? No, we're not going to unmask it for you because what you're asking for is illegal. You see, we're more than willing to, you know, oh, well, this is the Biden administration. It was a Trump administration. It was an Obama administration. It was the IRS. It was the NSA. Those are all made up of people. And those people are just following orders. See, that's what happens when you have an aristocratic class. People are trained to just follow orders. Do what you're told. Now, that was not a defense in the Nuremberg trials. Why is it a defense here? See, here's what I want to know. Who unmasked Mr. Carlson? And where's the warrant to do so? Every individual who unmasked, who participated in the unmasking of Tucker Carlson that did not demand a warrant beforehand has violated Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 242. They have committed a federal crime, punishable by a fine and up to 1 year in jail. Where's the FBI investigation? Could it be that there is no FBI investigation because, well, it was ordered by some aristocrat who said, we should do this because we need this information? National security and all that. Laws be damned, national security. Now, I've picked on the Democrats quite a bit in this article, in this episode. Not because they're Democrats, it's because of what they're doing, but they're not alone. See, anyone out there who thinks that the Republicans will save you is on a fool's errand. Senator Marsha Blackburn from my adopted home state of Tennessee is working with Senator Hickenlooper from Colorado to introduce legislation to bribe the states to change their health care policy. She says, rural Tennessee communities know all too well that when hospitals close, they'll be left without medical care when emergencies arise. Oh my, oh my. Filling the rural health care gap must be a priority. Excuse me, Senator Blackburn, the answer is no. Absolutely not. That is not in your charter as the United States of America. No, 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 no. What you are doing, Ms. Blackburn, is promoting a crime. See, what they want to do is they want to direct the Health Resources and Services Administration to come up with grants to pay off states to put in some sort of treatment facilities, urgent care facilities, where the federal government thinks they should be. Regardless of anything within the state. This is a Republican senator working with a Democratic senator to deprive you of the right to consent to the power of government. This is forbidden. The 10th Amendment says if the power is not specifically delegated to the United States, they don't have it. They don't have the power to do this. It is not legal. But we have a Republican more than willing to break the law if she thinks it'll buy her some votes. Now you know why I say a pox on both their houses? I don't care if you think rural health care needs to be expanded or not. I don't care if you think that's the best way or not. The federal government is legally forbidden from doing it. Yet here we go again. Oh, but it's for a good cause. We did not consent. Therefore, that is an unjust power. Not to be left out, Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican out of Missouri, he wants to introduce a bill that requires schools receiving federal funds to teach, quote, the basic truth about the United States as expressed in the nation's founding documents. All right, let's start with number one. Federal funding of health of education is a crime, Mr. Hawley. The federal government is not authorized to spend, the Congress is not authorized to spend taxpayer dollars on education, period, end of story. And before you go screaming general welfare clause, it is not the general welfare of the union, it is for the general welfare of the states and the individual. That is not what the general welfare clause says. Look up, it was a cod fisheries bill, James Madison's speech on the cod fisheries bill. So the very idea that that schools are receiving federal funds is a crime. I'm done with this euphemism of it's unconstitutional. It is a crime. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Congress is committing a crime. And Mr. Hawley wants to extend that crime by getting the federal government to tell the states how they should educate their students, something the federal government is not authorized to. The United States has not been delegated the power to establish education standards. This is a crime. Yes, I want students to learn about the Constitution and the Declaration. I want them to learn the truth, not the nonsense that's been taught for so many years. I want them to understand that. I met with somebody a couple weeks ago at an event who was saying, something about how, women are discriminated in the Constitution. I said, you realize the word woman doesn't exist in the Constitution? Neither does the word man. They refer to people. But this nonsense is not controlled by the federal government. Because as soon as the federal government, think about it this way. So Mr. Hawley wants the federal government to determine what the basic truth is. Do you really trust Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar to determine what truth is? Do you want Mitch McConnell, Joni Ernst, Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise? Do you want them determining what truth is? Because once you allow the federal government to determine what truth is, there is no such thing as truth. So you may look at this and say, oh, great, Josh Hawley wants to teach the truth. This is no different than all the way back to Senator Klobuchar saying, we're going to determine the truth for health care. This is the federal government meddling where it does not belong. And you shouldn't accept it simply because you agree with the person that's doing it today. You may look at Josh Hawley and think he has a lot of great ideas. This is evil. This is evil. This is stealing your right to consent of the government. Yet because he's a Republican, I know thousands, if not millions of Americans will support this simply because he has an R after his name. The same way I know thousands, if not millions of Americans that will agree with Ms. Klobuchar because she has a D after her name. How about we go to the real truth, Mr. Hawley? The school should be teaching the basic truth. And the basic truth is what you're proposing is a crime. And you should be held accountable for it. That's the basic truth, Mr. Hawley. The federal government is extorting money in order to bribe the American people, and you're just looking to bribe them a different way. You should be ashamed of yourself. In fact, I'd go so far as to say you should be impeached. Now, technically you can't because Article 1, Section 6 says that the members of Congress shall be privileged from arrest during their attendance of session of the respective houses in going to and returning from the same, and for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. But there should be a wake-up call to everybody in his district. This man who wants to define what the basic truth is doesn't know what the basic truth is. He wants his truth imposed on your children. And if he can impose his truth today, I guarantee you someone else will impose their truth tomorrow. Because as I've already shown in this episode and previous, truth is dead. We ignore the truth when it's inconvenient. We ignore the truth when we don't like its outcome. I only wish the American people would place nearly as much emphasis on their actions of truth than on the words of truth. That would recognize the truth of what is being done in Washington, of the aristocracy in Washington. And rather than listening to them when they tell us what to do, turn around and tell them, why don't you go eat cake? Now, I want to remind you that all of my shows typically go to podcasts a day or two after they're broadcast, and you hear them on the radio. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcast, basically any place you listen to podcasts. But if you would, go to Apple Podcasts, leave me a rating and review, and help others find the truth right here at the Constitution Study.
Stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.